welcome to another episode of the Lone Star Burn Burner Hockey Podcast on the BS3 Network. I am JJ. I'm flying solo, and I am live to talk about the Dallas Stars, who are 7-3 in their last 10. Jason Robertson has 40 goals. Actually, 41 now. Back-to-back seasons. And he is a history maker, as far as I'm concerned, a rule breaker. And I'm thinking this man is for real. Also, as long as he had 2 goals, by the way, Robertson, he is on a nice little point streak, I guess we could say. He didn't score the game before, but, he could factor in against Seattle. We'll see. Wyatt Johnston is what I was going to bring up. He is on a point streak. He has 2 goals in the last 2 games. And, what can you say about Jake Oettinger, who has played with every last bit of himself that he can, given the interesting circumstances with Scott Wedgwood being out with injury, Matt Murray being relatively new to the NHL level. Oettinger has pretty much had to put the whole team on his back, and, he's starting to show it a little bit. I mean, it's kind of bend but not break level, but he's keeping them in it, I'll say. After getting absolutely curb stomped by the Oilers, they turned around and they beat the Flames in overtime. And I'll be honest with you, I thought the Stars would have lost that game as well, because it went down something like this. Against Calgary, they were up 3-1 in the first period. They scored one more, and then Calgary answered with 3 of their own to tie it 4-4. So, they went in to the third period with a tie, and both scored one goal there, 5-5, to go into overtime with, the winning goal being scored just seconds. A backhander, a absolutely lethal looking backhander by Jason Robertson for his second of the night. And, that's trying to keep it clean, trying to keep it as mild mannered as I can. Robertson doing that is something that I think will bode well for the Stars. I will be honest. The Flames are a good team. I didn't expect them to lose to the Stars. I really didn't. And the season series concludes. That's the word. And here's the funny part. The first game, the Flames won 6-5. Second game, 5-4. So, through 2 games, they were outscoring the Stars 11-9. And then, they still outscored them, if my math is correct, as the Stars beat them 6-5 for the final game of the season series. They're done and out of our hair for the time being. I say our like I take the ice. I don't, but you know what I'm saying. Calgary is done and over with for the time being. Maybe playoffs, who knows. Seattle's up next, and we stack up, a little bit better. Again, something I say a little bit loosely. the games have both gone to the Stars. 4-3, final overtime for the first game. And then 5-2 the second game. So it's like they figured him out. They're outscoring Seattle by a score of 9-5. They'll play on the 21st, 7:30. Third and final game of that series. And they bring Bjorkstrand, Dunn, and Matt Jones or Grubauer. For the Stars, Wyatt Johnston, 34 goals. Look at him. 69 assists for Miro Heiskanen. Is that right? Holy cow. Ottinger is boasting a 30-10-10 record. 246 goals against, 918 save percentage. 4 shutouts for that young man. And possibly injured Scott Wedgwood. I think he's still day-to-day or something like that. 7-8-3 for him. 292 goals against, 913 save percentage, 1 shutout. So between them, they have 5 shutouts. That's a good goalie tandem. And, you know, once again, Mr. Murray, in his infancy of his career, that's a good word for it. He's had a couple games under his belt now, one of which was less than stellar, but the other one was stellar. So, you know, he's learning the ropes, he's learning adversity, and he's learning to roll with the punches, shall we say. It still leads me to believe, you know, with Wedgwood being hurt, with Ottinger needing a break, what if the Stars ended up going the younger route and went Ottinger and Matt Murray after the season's end? That would be a lot of fun to see. They're grooming him for doing just that, it seems like. But we'll have to see. Playoffs are more and more likely with every game, especially every 2 points that they can accrue. I mean, I don't know how to word that, so, but yeah, with every 2-point game that they can accrue, which means every win, it makes it more and more likely they'll have a pretty decent seed for the playoffs. Standing right now, Stars are first in the Central. They are not first in the West. They have 89 points. Vegas has 92. They lead the Pacific. The Kings are actually ahead of the Stars, 90 points to Dallas's 89. Minnesota is second in the Central. They have 88 points, and Colorado has 86. Wow, okay. So Vegas, 92. Like I said, LA Kings, 90. Edmonton, 86. They are the guys that mollywopped the team. They mopped the ice with them just the other night. That's okay. It happens. And then Seattle is in the first wild card spot, while Winnipeg is trying to leapfrog them and catch up with Colorado. Now, Winnipeg has 70 games under their belt. They have 12 games remaining. The Avalanche have a whopping 68 games played. And the Stars and Wild both have 70. Actually, Colorado has 68, Seattle has 69. Those seem to be the only two teams in playoff contention that don't have 70 games played. I don't know. In my mind, that makes it a little bit tighter. Chicago has been eliminated. San Jose has been eliminated, I believe. Anaheim, Phoenix. Sorry, Arizona have been eliminated, which means Vancouver is either eliminated or knocking on that door. The Eastern Conference, which has no bearing on the Stars, to be quite honest with you, is wide open, it seems like. Actually, it's a little more decided. I said that backwards. But yeah. So we have see how many Eastern Conference games we have. We've got Pittsburgh. We've got Detroit. Two left. Nope, Philadelphia. Three. Wait, is Nashville? What conference is Nashville? I totally had a brain fart. I think it's Western. Is that right? Yeah, okay. I thought maybe with the division realignment, something might have changed there. It did not. Nashville is in the fourth wild card spot, if there was such a thing. They're fighting for the two wild card spots. They have 67 games played, though. So Winnipeg, Seattle, Nashville, and Calgary could change. Maybe even St. Louis. Okay, I just completely messed that up. Anaheim, Chicago, San Jose, all are eliminated. That's the only teams. On the other end is Philadelphia, Montreal, Columbus. And that is that for the playoff contention. Let's see. The Stars recently signed forward Chase Wheatcroft to a 3-year entry-level contract. He will... Wow, he has amassed 183 points in 201 career regular season games with Prince George, Winnipeg, and Lethbridge. Wow. He made his WHL debut in 2019-20 with Lethbridge, where he recorded 29 points, 7 goals, 22 assists in 59 games. The following season, Wheatcroft earned 15 points, 8-7, 8 goals, 7 assists in 23 games with the Hurricanes. He split the 21-22 campaign with Lethbridge and Winnipeg, earning 38 points, which was 16 goals, 22 assists, and 55 regular season games. Wheatcroft also posted 6 points, 1 goal, 5 assists, and 15 WHL playoff games in Winnipeg in 2022. So he will forever be invited to training camp until they decide he's not worthy, if they do. Yeah, that's going to be a real fun time coming up. The Stars launched their new app, which they had a while ago. I believe somehow it dissipated and they brought it back. So if you haven't tried that, that's a better way to go for all your Stars news and articles and videos and things like that. It's better, in my opinion, than having to go back to the NHL. Let's see. What am I missing here? You know, I kept going back and forth on Pete DeBoer. All the way up until this point, I have and I did. And, you know, I'll say this. It seems as though I don't want to say that they back him more than they did Bonus. But it kind of feels that way. It feels like they believe a little bit more in DeBoer. It seems as though everybody's in the right spots. Everybody's in the right roles. And more importantly, everybody that plays with the star on their chest knows their roles, and they're playing a little bit more for each other. And that's the thing, like, when they play for each other, when they play aggressively, games like what just happened against Calgary, they happen a little bit more. Now, if you look at it, here's the thing. You would not know, at least in my opinion, that the Stars had a chance to win. Shots on goal went in favor of the Flames, 38-26. Face-off percentage went in favor of the Flames, 58.3 face-off winning percentage for them. Power play was even, 0-1 for Calgary, 0-3 for the Stars. Okay, so, I mean, I don't know how you say that. It was a little bit worse, but they had more power play opportunities, did the Stars. Dallas played a little more disciplined. I almost said maturely. They only had 2 penalty minutes against, obviously, with the 0-1. Calgary played a little bit of catch-up. I'm guessing when they were down, they had 6 penalty minutes in total. They out-hit the Stars 25-24. They out... the Stars out-blocked the Flames 14-13. Giveaways went in favor of the Flames, which means they gave us the puck, or we intercepted it a little bit more. And the Stars had 5 giveaways. The Flames, however, had 8 takeaways, and the Stars had 7. Absolutely wild. I mean, Robertson, the way he put the game away in the last few seconds of overtime, man, that is exactly what they need. And that is exactly what they're going to need going forward if they want to make it anywhere near, I don't want to say the conference finals. I was gritting my teeth as I said that. But if they want to make a good playoff run, man, they're going to have to figure out overtime. They're going to have to figure out the team chemistry, man. That they're doing just that. They just need to rely on each other and, you know, to be quite honest with you, close out all the rest of the background noise. Anything that isn't wearing a Dallas Star on them and on the ice with them in some way, shape, or form, that's just noise. Fans in the background, you know, noise. Referees doing what they do, noise. They're going to have to make sure that they don't play to give the referees anything to look at going forward. Because when you have a fan base that uses the referees as an excuse, you know, it might come off a little bit wrong, a little bit spoiled, rotten, whatever the case may be, whatever you want to call it. It's just not a good look. To have a situation where you're playing like that and the refs even look at you is not a good look. And, you know, this was one of the cleanest games I have seen by far. You know, they were pretty disciplined. And I was drawing a blank. Look at this. They had... I lost it. Where'd it go? That's shots on goal. Where is power play? I just said it too. Penalties and minutes. To only have 2 penalties, 2 penalty minutes, that's just 1 power play. That's all it is. That is a very decent game for the Stars. That's relatively clean. That means everybody was playing their role. That means everybody was playing aggressively, and they were playing the right kind of aggressively. They're going to go far if they can keep doing that. And the schedule is not exactly some puppy dog teams. You know, those teams have already been weeded out of the playoffs, man. They're slowly dropping like flies. And here come the Stars, you know, still standing tall. Even though somebody like Edmonton has more regulation wins, I believe, is what I read. Sometimes that's just the way the puck bounces, you know. Ooh, hold on. Bless me. Excuse me. Sorry. I hope that didn't blow y'all's ears off. The other side of that coin is when you're figuring out how to play through shooting yourself in the foot, which, you know, could be dominating a game, could be dominating a game and letting somebody back in, or, you know, you come back from being down by X amount in a certain amount of time. Like, they had a game against Chicago, I think it was, and they were down 5-1. They came back. You know, they have to be very careful of how they play. They really do. When they have the advantage, they can't just let somebody walk right back in. They can't. That's something they are bad at. That's something it looks like they're trying to fix. And if they are down, you know, they need to keep trying hard to get themselves back up. One of the biggest downfalls in my eyes is still playing down to the opponent, you know. Calgary was down early. They were down big early. And I was just like, okay, I'm going to go to bed. And my friend who frequents the show as a co-host, he kept me updated. And when I saw that they came back and tied the Flames, I was shocked because it was probably like the Stars just kind of put it in neutral and just started coasting. You know, they can't do that. To differentiate themselves from the pretenders, you know, if they want to be contenders, they have to differentiate themselves from the pretenders. And how they do that is learn how to play aggressive, learn how to play the right type of aggressive, and play their game. I'll say this till I'm blue in the face. I love this team. But so many times this season, I mean, you can see it by the overtime losses and the losses, period. You know, you can go back and look at those very games and see which ones they should have won and which ones you wonder how they lost. Like, there's games where, okay, this puck bounced that way, so what? It happens. And then there's, you fought hard enough just to do that. You know, you can tell just by the games, you can tell just by the highlights. And it's crazy to me how guys like Max Domi and Dodonov have changed that for the Stars. You hear Domi and Dodonov pretty frequently, almost as much as you hear Wyatt Johnston and Robertson. And that's a good thing. I'll be quite honest with you, man. To me, from the outside, you're looking at rentals. You know, you look at their contract situation. Let me look at Max Domi real quick. Max Domi, I believe, is a rental. Yeah, he's got the rest of this year sitting at $3 million. Let me check Dodonov. I think he is too. Evgeny Dodonov is, okay, where is it? I am blind as a bat. I believe he might be signed a little bit longer. Yeah, 3 years. It says, signed by Pierre Dorion, 3 years, $15 million. Okay, so, this was the last of his contract as well. So yeah, he's a rental. I'm thinking, and yeah, I'm struggling with it. Yeah, 2023-24, he's a UFA. Just like Domi. I'm thinking, to be quite honest with you, as I was trying to find the right way to say this, because I was curious about their contract, since they are rentals, you got rid of Denis Gurianov. Okay, fair enough, whatever. Sometimes people don't fit, sometimes people need a new change of pace, change of scenery. You got rid of him, and you got Dodonov. Signed Dodonov, because he's already scored a couple times, and he's already made plays a couple times. The next few games here, the next even playoff series, will be proof whether or not he deserves to be on this team. Same with Max Domi. I like Max. He can play, he can score, he can make plays, and the man can drop the gloves when he needs to. To be honest with you, it didn't seem like Jamie Benn was gonna lean that way this year, and I don't think he's had very many fights, if any at all. Which, fair enough, he's getting older, getting slower. Whatever you can say against him, he's still leading the youngsters and making that line look good, or helping making that line look good. I guess helping is the better way of putting it. But he hasn't fought. Hakanpaa is the hard hitter. And to have somebody like Domi in there will give Ben a break. And even Hakanpaa a break. Now you got three people you need to worry about. Are they going to hit you hard? Or are they going to hit you fast? Or are they going to score? It's a good thing to see. It's a good change of pace. It's a much needed change of pace, and you know, the home stretch is looking, I'll say, it's looking all right. You don't want to write Seattle off. They just came off a loss against Edmonton, and they fought back. They were down pretty big early themselves, was Seattle against Edmonton. They fought back and lost by 2 goals. I think it was 6-4 is what I read. You don't want to write them off completely. They're going to come out of the gates, and they're going to be mad. But I think with the Stars coming out of the gates mad, like they did the other night, if they can bring that same effort against Seattle, man, I don't want to say they'll beat the brakes off of them, but, you know, they will show that, you know, Seattle might be good, but the Stars are better. And that's really cool to see. Once again, you know, I don't mean to tout or toot Seattle's horn, but to see them in wild card contention is really cool to see. They'll have some of the first franchise playoff experience together. And, you know, as a whole, that's a very good roster anyway. So, you know, there's no reason to believe that they won't make any noise. Eberle, Grubauer. It's just a fun team to watch. I will be completely honest with you. So yeah, that's what the Stars have coming next, is Seattle. And like I said, they have Pittsburgh 2 days after that. Pittsburgh is 34-25-10. Woo. Okay. They got Gensel, Letang, Tristan Jarry, and Crosby coming through. That's going to be a big game. However, the Stars need not to lose sight of Seattle. That's going to be two of the biggest tests they have. 7-3, though, in the last 10. Not very bad. if I do say so myself. They're proving me wrong. Anyways, I've said a whole lot and a whole lot of nothing in this episode, but I wanted to come in, check in, let y'all know that if you're not watching Stars Hockey, you probably should be. So, thank you for watching. We'll be back tomorrow with another show. Me and my buddy Kay Fitz. And then after that, we'll try to squeeze in one more for the following week. So until then, thank you for listening. Thank you to the awesome owner of this site and network for giving me a shot. I do apologize for delaying on the episode. As you might hear, I am kind of scratchy and stuffy from allergies. But I will catch you tomorrow. Thanks for listening.